in the story of all great institutions, of all great organizations, there is that moment when there is a particular vision that goes forth, a particular person or group of people who says things should be different than they were. In Iowa City in the 80s in women's basketball, it was the moment when they said we should have C. Vivian Stringer be a coach here. And from then on, Iowa women's basketball was a powerhouse. In Iowa City in the 1970s, as they've been looking over at the success of Howard Nichols over at the Iowa State wrestling program, they called someone else. They said, let us hire this guy, Dan Gable. And from that moment forward, things were different. In Ames in the 80s, people possessed a vision, said, how should we change Iowa State men's basketball? And they said, we will make Johnny Orr the highest paid coach in the land. And ever since then, there has been a little bit of a different sense of Iowa State basketball. And here in this story, this is what the crowning of David represents. So let us talk about these anointing stories. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts and our souls be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So just like all of those stories, today's story marks a change. Before this day, we are in the period in our narrative of what we call the patriarchs of ancient Israel. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then into the Exodus led by Moses. This period of prehistory, no one was there writing these stories down. No one was there to verify what is going on. They were stories about the foundation of a people. And in them, they were stories of God working through individual people, talking directly to individual people. And these are, by and large, the stories that we read in Genesis and in Exodus. In a little bit in Numbers. And today marks a difference, a different kind of story. On this day, we found the institution of the kingdom of Israel. From here forth in the Old Testament, you'll read stories of what happens to the nation state of Israel as it expands, as it contracts, as good things happen, as bad things happen, as it conquers other people and is conquered. But it will be the story of a nation. And along with that comes all the things that go with being a nation. We have now a capital of Israel, a place that people come to from all parts, a place that grows in wealth and in power, a place that can afford to employ scribes to write things down, and people around the king to tell the king different things that he should do. And from here on out, those are the people who have written down these stories. They may have written down the other stories too, but they did not start those stories. And so as we go forward from here, remember that is a change. We go into this world where we can verify what has happened, where we get different accounts of what has happened that we need to line up together. And so it is worthwhile to examine what happens to make this change. And it is important that in the first scripture reading that Martha read, it says, all the Israelite elders came to the king at Hebron. King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. What happened is that there were a bunch of people who had a vision and said, we cannot keep going in the way we have been going. We need to stand for something new. We were ruled directly by God before. The judges sort of interpreted what God's rules were for us and what the laws that had come down to us were. But then there was corruption with the judges. We could not act as a unified people. We could not move forward in our lives together. And so we need a new structure, and it is scary. It's scary to go from a place where there is no single ruler, to give up some power and start telling a new story together and say, this whole that we have is greater than ourselves, and we must come together and have a way to act as one. It's a scary moment. And certainly David was flawed, as all leaders are flawed. And David did things in that time that no leader should ever do and that we would not stand for today. But in those days, David was the leader that they needed. And so David came. And so it is important to tell this story now as we prepare to embark on a strategic planning mission together. As we start to look at what the future 5 years out could be, what it is this church will be in 5 years from now, what we will stand for, what we will talk about, how we will show our love for one another. Because just as the judges show that there were some weaknesses in the old structure, we have seen some weaknesses in our structure here in Ankeny UCC. And we are together, and we love one another, and we like to talk about where we are going, and we love one another, and we send people off so well in this place. And we are so adaptable for change. But we also know that we need to make a decision about where we are going if we wish to go somewhere in this time. Not all the changes we have seen have we liked. And not all the changes that we have seen reflect who we are, but instead reflect the world that we live in. And so the question becomes, who will we be in the world around us? What will Ankeny know this church for? When people walk in our doors, what will they see? How will they see our love of God and our love of neighbor? Where are we going? And in stewardship, this is such an important question, because the way we're going to answer that question is through our time and our talents and our money. That with our money and with our time and with our talents, we will together decide who we will be as a church. For we need all of those things from all of our people to move forward in the world, to take the steps and build the foundation for the future that we are hoping to do with our strategic planning. We're starting our discussions and Wednesday night studies saying, what is it that our future could look like that we hope to share with the committee when it is convened and let them do the work that must be done. As we look for new deacons and new council members, we prepare too for retreats and for studies so that we may look forward and see what we're going to do in the next year. And so as you prepare for that, I think it is important to tell this story of the Old Testament in a new way, in a different way. Act 2. We've had a story that we've told from the Old Testament in our narrative lectionary that starts in creation and brings us to today with King David. But that story is about so many different things. It's about so many different people. It's about so many different actions that sometimes the core message of it all is lost. And so there's another way to look at all of the things that we have done together. In the beginning, as God was creating, God created and called it good and created people who were without shame, but said to them, "Be careful of that tree over there. Be careful of curiosity. For this paradise that you live in, this world without suffering, this world of plenty for all, depends on you not asking that question." But the people did as people do and asked the question anyway. And when they had that knowledge of good and evil, they looked around and saw that underneath their pleasure there was suffering. Underneath their happiness, there was pain. Underneath their plenty, there was starvation, and they went out into the world. But God was still with them. For when the flood came, wiping out everything before them, God was with them and said, "Get into the boat. Bring some animals with you. And not only that, I swear to you, I will show you a sign when the flood is over and it is safe once more. And I promise to you, we will never do this again." God was with them. Abraham was called by God. God said, "Abraham, you are suffering in your father's house. You are not all you could be. You are being held back by the expectations of your family. Come with me into a new place. We will be a new people there. You will be the father of nations and Sarah the mother. And so Abraham went out with God, and God was with Abraham. And then God said, I don't like this city. It's full of bad people. I'm going to strike it down. And Abraham said, no, God, don't do that. You're acting too rashly, God. Abraham argued with God, fought with God. And what did God do? God changed God's mind, for God was with Abraham and loved Abraham. And then Abraham's grandson went to a river and fought with God, wrestled with God at the river. And did God strike Jacob down? No. God said, you will have a new name, Israel, which has my name right at the end, El Elohim, God. Because you struggled with God, you are this new name and a name that endures until today. Jacob's sons buried their brother in a hole in the desert. That's where Joseph was until he was brought into Egypt. And then famine drove those brothers down into Egypt, down into the power of that brother they had left for dead. And what happened? Joseph said, God is with me and I can forgive you and I will protect you. And then they were in slavery. And Moses was out of the reach of God, out of his people, away from anyone who worshiped God. He was in the house of a foreign god so far away on a mountaintop. But God was with him too. And God said, you will bring the people out of Israel. And Moses did, and into the desert. And as soon as Moses went to talk with God again, the people said, we should go back to slavery. Who is this Moses guy anyway? And they started making idols. But God was still with them, and they made it into this new land. And in that new land, they couldn't be ruled by God directly. So God said, okay, if this is your vision of what the future is to be, if this is where you are called to be, then I, God, will be with you and will help you. And when that king doesn't work out, I will give you a new king. And so he did. David was the new king. David did work out, and God anointed him. And that's the story of the Bible throughout time, because the stories will come and go as we go from here. There are times when Israel is doing well and doing poorly, but God is always there. God is there when Israel is suffering in exile. God is there when Israel is triumphing. God is there in the voices of the prophets who say, you must treat people well. You must fulfill the vision that we have as a people of God. God is always with us. God came to us in Jesus Christ when we were suffering in Israel under the domination of the Romans. God came to us again when these structures we lifted up, the church, became corrupted and once again caused suffering. And God said, perhaps there are new visionaries we can lift up. But God is always with us. As we are suffering, God suffers with us and hopes to bring us out of the pain. As we sit there saying, where is the vision? God is with us too, poking and poking and poking and poking and saying, our story is not done yet. So in this moment, when we look at the future, remember the God we worship is the God who is with us, who was with us in the time of Abraham, who is with us in Jesus Christ, who was with us in Martin Luther and all the reformers, who is with us when all the people said, hey, wait a minute, you're only telling part of the story, and is with us now. God wishes us to be transformed people. God wishes us to have hope for the future, to find the strength to change things, to leave our fear alone and walk in love. And so as we look at the story of the Bible, remember that always, as people suffer, as people are not all they could be, as people find themselves weak and alone, God is with them. And in this church, God is with us too.